Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. During our Q&A session, you may press star one on your touch-tone phone if you would like to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Tara Nuckelby. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tara Nuckelby, and I'll be facilitating your webinar. Today's webinar will be with Mr. Larry Curley with the National Indian Council on Aging and Cynthia LeCount with the Administration for Community Living. She will be doing a Q&A with Mr. Curley, but we'll start us off with some updates at ACLAOA.
Good afternoon, Title VI. I'm so glad to have you on the call. Thank you for calling in once again. We have some exciting news to share, but before I introduce your new NICOA director, your new National Indian Council on Aging director, I want to tell you kind of what we've been up to this week out here in Washington, D.C. The STAC is meeting, the Secretary's Tribal Advisory Committee, and this is a meeting when your tribal leaders come out and meet with the principals of, and that's what we call the principals, the big guys, over at Health and Human Services and in each of their operating divisions. We are, ACL is one of the operating divisions. So I've been with tribal leaders yesterday and we'll be going back over to meet with them again after this meeting. And I encourage you again to keep your tribal leaders informed about your needs and about your programs and about your elders, because I can attest that they truly do bring your voices and your messages out here. We have also been talking with the AHEC, the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, which is the association of our tribal colleges. And we talked with them about developing some curriculum. We've been talking about curriculum for years, folks, and wanting to develop a nutrition training and curriculum and certification for your cooks, training and certification for your caregivers, your respite care, your home health workers, get some services going in legal services. And we've wanted to work through the tribal colleges if we can help develop the curriculum and then have them open up the courses for students. So that meeting, that first meeting and discussion actually happened this week, and we met with Ms. Carrie Billy. So that will be something we'll be working on through here. And then we're beginning to talk about reauthorization of the Older Americans Act. So I think that's a really good place for me to pause and introduce you to, I want to introduce and reintroduce you to Larry Curley. Most of you know Larry or have heard about Larry from me and at our conferences, but Larry Curley is the Navajo man that you have to thank for Title VI funding. Back in the mid-70s, it was Larry walking the halls of Congress and getting support for the Title VI under the Older Americans Act. And remember that wonderful, delightful story about how he got National Rifle Association support. Well, that was Larry Curley. Larry is actually the person who was also one of the co-founders of NICOA and then Title VI, and he's worked with us in and out of different positions throughout these many years. Well, this is, I believe, Larry's second or third week back as the director of the National Council on Aging. So with that, Larry, would you like to say a few words, like about an hour's worth?
I can do about half an hour, but I want to thank all of you members, people who are working out in the field, who see the people, work with them every day, day in, day out. In hot weather, cold weather, you guys are doing a great job. You guys are doing fantastic. This is my second week as the executive director of the National Indian Council on Aging, and I'm looking at the organization to become even more of a visible organization, a viable organization, and an effective organization that it once was, as it should be, not only with the elderly population, but with you as program directors, that we have a lot in common. We have a lot that we can do together. And I see that just as an example, you are program directors. You know the programs inside and out. You know the rules. You know the regulations. You know the budget. You know all of that. And so what I see is that there is a natural collaboration in instrument or a way we should be working together very closely. And more recently, when I came aboard, I found that we don't have a board representative from the Title VI organization. And I'm thinking we need somebody from the Title VI organization that needs to fill that vacant spot on our board, because it is the programs that provide that information to our elderly who are our board members so that they can make wise, accurate, and reliable types of decisions on behalf of your programs. And the other part is that just from my viewpoint is that we need to begin to establish reestablish our connections with the elderly population by states and by organizations. And I think that one of the ways that we can do that is by reaffiliating and strengthening the operations of state Indian Councils on Aging across the country. We have a very strong State Indian Council on Aging in Oklahoma, one in Arizona, and one in New Mexico. And there are other organizations out there that I think that we need to reconnect. Wisconsin is also one of them. We need to begin that national perspective again. And in that regard, I'm looking to you as Title VI programs to help me, to help the organization, to help our elderly become visible, to be heard. I have been out here meeting with various individuals, with Cynthia, and there is a lot of support for this organization, for the National Indian Council on Aging. We are concerned as well that it be a strong organization that can articulate and voice your concerns here in Washington, D.C. So we have been exploring in this past week a lot of alternatives, a lot of options, a lot of possibilities. But I just wanted you to know that it feels good to be back home, back in the National Indian Council on Aging. I look forward to working with all of you and look forward to having a very strong and very cooperative relationship with the Title VI groups and your support with the organization. And part of that support would be in dealing with your tribal councils and your tribal leadership to support us as we move forward. I hear from tribal leaders out there the questions that they ask, such as, what have you done for us lately, National Indian Council on Aging? Well, I want to make sure I have an answer for that. And I think that if we work together and move forward together, that we will have some very strong products and stuff that we can show them that we have accomplished in the short time that we've been back together. So but I just wanted to share that with you, and I thank you very much, and have a great day.
What do you mean, have a great day? You're not done, Larry.
I just said have a great day.
While you folks are putting your questions together, I'm going to ask Larry some questions, but we truly do want this to be interactive. Larry, back in the olden days, when you and I were young, and you were working out here in Washington, D.C., under the direction of the tribal elders and the
National
Tribal Chairman's Board, which used to be the NCAI folks back in in the 70s. But when you were putting together the thoughts of Title VI and NICOA was newly developed, what was the image or what was the thoughts or kind of what was in your mind and those leaders of ours 40 years ago, what were they thinking the relationship would be between Title VI and NICOA?
We think that the leadership back then, under the organization of the National Tribal Chairman's Association, in that organization, we have some very strong tribal leadership. People like Wendell Chino from Mescalero Apache, Roger Jourdain from Wisconsin, or the Minnesota.
Minnesota, Red Lake.
And
Walter Moffitt. Sherman Lillard.
And real tribal leaders. And these were people who, and Joe Dela Cruz from Washington.
Yep.
Those are tribal chairmen who stood up, who were able to speak with a voice that people listened to. We had that support. And part of that support was to see an organization that would speak on behalf of our elderly population. The relationship between the Title VI organizations and the National Indian Council on Aging was that most of the Title VI directors were young people. A lot of the people on the National Indian Council on Aging were older people. And there was a need, they felt, to have an intergenerational kind of relationship between program directors and the board. And not only that, they needed the information and the experience of Title VI directors to be able to come to the board, the National Indian Council on Aging Board, to articulate and voice their concerns at that level, and so that older people and the board of the National Indian Council would support the recommendations and suggestions of the Title VI directors. And I think that back then, it was a new effort. It was a new relationship. Not only was there an idea about the Title VI program directors being a part of the National Indian Council on Aging, and with the state Indian Councils on Aging, we had an idea that we have both the program directors and we have the elderly population within the National Indian Council on Aging umbrella, and that all of us could be a very strong and very formidable voice here in Washington, D.C. and on the Hill. That was the idea back then, and I want to see that happen again. I want to see that revived. I want to see us work together to do that and accomplish those issues.
Thank you, Larry. Now, don't tell us goodbye. I got more questions.
Good later.
Larry mentioned when he was telling you about being out here this week, all the support he's seen, and he truly has. We've met with AARP, we've met with ANA, we've met with different people here at ACL, we've met with STAC and tribal leaders, he's met with CMS, we've talked to Indian Health Service, we have been busy this week, and I'm truly amazed at the support, the people that come up to us, or up to me, and want to work for tribal elders. So I truly think we're kind of on a new horizon here, and having Larry come back into our ballgame really brings in some new life to me. But what is you talked about, you hope that we get together and work closer to in the future, and we kind of bring back some of that work and that direction we were heading in. What's your goals? What's your short-term goals? What do you want to see happen in the next year?
Well, I think
and 5 years.
The 5 years, I want to see the organization stronger than ever. I want the National Indian Council on Aging. When we say National Indian Council, it's national. That means the entire country. I want the organization to be on the same level as the National Congress of American Indians, the National Indian Health Board, the National Indian Youth Council. When people say aging issues, go to NICOA, go to the National Indian Council on Aging. That's the visibility and that's the credibility that I've been wanting to see the National Indian Council on Aging find that visibility again. That's 5 years from now. It'll take a lot of steps to get to that point. And part of it is to say to Indian country, to tribal leaders, we need to convince you that we are doing what we can for your population, for the Indian elderly population. And that means going out and meeting with the tribes, sitting down directly with the tribal leadership and letting them know, this is how we're doing it, this is why we're doing it. And part of it is get information out. Right now we're looking at developing a newsletter that will be going out into Indian country. We haven't done that in a while, apparently. But to have information going out to Indian country that will focus in on two populations. One is the elderly themselves. We want to provide them with information that they can use that is helpful to them. And the other is news that we can target our tribal leadership to let them know that this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing for the tribes. This is what we're doing for our elderly population. We need your support. That shows them that we are doing something on behalf of tribes across the country. That's just in the immediate short term. The other is just to begin to make ourselves visible again. Last night we had a meeting with a gentleman by the name of Bill Benson. And part of our discussion was essentially they have meetings here in Washington, D.C. on a monthly basis. That's called the National Council of Leadership.
Leadership Council.
Leadership
the National
Council.
Leadership Council of Aging Organizations.
And they're made up of all the large aging organizations here in the Washington, D.C. area. They have daily contact with Congress. They have that kind of visibility.
They're the first ones that ACL, Edwin and Lance call to discuss new issues and priorities and money and stuff.
And apparently we have not been involved with that organization, with that group for quite some time. And last night in my discussion with Mr. Bill Benson, who is a member of that coalition, that he and I talked about him representing the needs of older Indian people based on what we recommend, that he would be our voice here in Washington, D.C. And that would be a part of an MOU, a memorandum of understanding between us and them to do that for us. But to be able to be a member, continue to be a member of that organization so that your needs and the issues that we have out in Indian country can be articulated here in Washington, D.C. before the aging leadership. So those are just some of the immediate things. One, to get information out to the tribes. Two, to make sure that Washington knows that we're still here by becoming involved in these national organizations and these coalitions that are out here. And thirdly, to begin to identify some resources that are out there. There are some interesting ideas that we have come up with in terms of how we can begin to find some resources that can help tribes and specifically Title VI programs. I was just sharing with Cynthia the other day that years ago, the National Indian Council on Aging had an Office of Training and Technical Assistance. I was the director of that office years ago, and we went out and we trained program directors on the management of Title VI programs, of the administration of it, and I'd like to see the National Indian Council on Aging be a resource to all of you at that level and to provide you with the kind of training that you need and want. But I think that the other thing is we need to begin to think forward. We need to begin to see the trends in aging country. What is it that's happening that we need to be aware of and not just react? We need to begin to be more proactive, anticipate by looking at data and trends. How is the elderly population looking like? So that means a lot of data. That means some research that is probably on the horizon that we need to do.
Thank you, Larry. That's very exciting. And many of you know I'm not quite as old as Larry, and I haven't been around quite as long as Larry, but I think I missed tail here. And this is exciting. I've been in this position for 7 years now, and I'm so limited at what I can do. I'm a Fed. I have to watch what I say. I have to watch who I say it to. I can only come up with this idea. I can only do it this way. we're very restricted in what we can do as federal employees. I have learned how to manipulate the system a little bit, and I have learned how to come up with ideas and expand them and work with other agencies. But I can't be the voice on the Hill. I cannot meet with Congress. I cannot give Congress any information unless they ask our agency or I'm directed to by Lance. So Title VI, what I want you to do is I want everybody to grab your pens and a piece of paper, and I want you to write this down. L as in Larry, C as in Curly, U, R, L, E, Y. And then make the at sign, and it's at NICOA.org. And when you're managing your programs day to day, or when you are faced with having to look at cutting your frequency of your meals or cutting the amount you can spend on food that month, or when one of your seniors comes in and you know they've been abused and you're trying to bring prevention and assistance to them and get them out of that situation, or your van just broke down and you live on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in Montana, and that means you're about 150 to 200 miles away from the nearest metropolitan area at all, and you've got $4,000 left in your budget and you need a new vehicle. So you go to the local car dealership and you buy a very used vehicle for $3,000 to get you through the year. I want you to write those things, and don't only send them to me, but send them to Larry. Those are the stories. We've been talking a lot in the last few years about our story and the story of your program and the story of your elders. Those are the stories that Larry needs to know and to hear firsthand from you so he can take those up on the Hill, so he can go up and meet with our two new congressional American Indian congressional delegates that we're all so excited about. But Larry needs to have this information to carry it further for you. And that's the beauty. That's why I am so excited to have him back in this position, because I know I can do my job here, and then he can take it further and really carry the message that you folks tell me. This is very, very, very exciting. We're busy planning our next 4 years. But I got a tough question for you, Larry. And this tough question comes as a result of the last conference that many of us attended, which was held in Pechanga, California. I think it was day three of that conference, the previous director got up before us all and talked to us about the state of affairs at National Indian Council on Aging. And she shed some tears, and she collected money from elders to keep the organization afloat. And all of that broke my heart. What is the status of NICOA? How do we know that if we all rally around and we formulate our plans here, how we're going to support each other, how do we know that in another 6 to 8 months we've still got NICOA, because the last we were told was it couldn't exist?
Well, I think that's one of the immediate things that I dealt with. I heard about what happened in Pechanga, and I think it's rather sad, pathetic, quite frankly, that we have to rely on our elders to throw money in, of their hard-earned money, into a pot so that the organization continues to exist. My job, obviously, is to find the necessary resources, and that's what all of this trip for this past week has been about. Where are the resources? What is it that we can do that is innovative, that is appealing to the agencies that we're dealing with here. But we have a pot of money that we just received that we took a look at and said, you know, we can modify this budget. We can modify the scope of work and how we can do that and still be able to do the deliverables. And so for right now, I anticipate the organization in 6 months from now to still be alive, still be kicking. And by that time, I anticipate additional resources coming into the organization. But I think that as part of this whole question about viability and support, I looked at the tribes because this is their this is their organization. And there are elderly people from each of the 12 BI areas that represent those areas. Board members from those areas are the ones that should be out there working with us and working with me to ensure that the resources are there support the organization just as much as NCAI has a membership at the tribal level, not just at the elderly membership level, but at the tribal level. And so those are, I think, ways that we can begin to take a look at this organization. The other is to take a look at the organization, and I don't think it has ever been, I don't think there's ever been any activity that would move the organization to be considered as a, quote, tribal organization under 93638 laws. With the 93638 laws being deemed a tribal organization, it opens up the doors to a lot of funding that is available in Indian country that we could be able to tap into. So, to me, while it might appear to be a tough road to hoe, that's the challenge that I enjoy. And we will. We will make it. With your help, with your support, we will make it. We will be an organization and bring it back to promise that it once was. So, for me, I've always been a very optimistic, but at the same time realistic, that we can accomplish these things together.
Good. Thank you. That makes me feel lots better, Larry. I don't think I have any other questions, and we've used up about our half hour, which is about our target. So I'm hoping those of you on the call have some questions for Larry, or some advice for Larry on how NICOA could better serve you and your elders. I encourage you to learn who the board members are of NICOA, and I'm sure that's on the website. And, you know, there's 12 board members, and they're in some of them belong to your tribes. So please work with those board members so that we can make them the best board members we can to represent you. But Tara Nuckleby, will you open up the lines? And Title VI, will you please ask Larry questions?
Yes, and press star 1. If you have a question, press star 1, and the operator will open up your line to ask your question. Thank you.
Hello, Title VI.
Unfortunately, no one has queued up for questions.
Okay, then we're going to talk some more. And if you want us to not talk, you have to ask questions. Larry, you were at AARP yesterday, and they talked to you about one of those new technological town hall discussion things. What were they talking about, and what are you planning?
One of the things that in my meeting with AARP yesterday was to talk about what are the relationships that we could build and what are the things that we can do together. And in talking with the gentleman there, we talked about what he called a tele-town hall that has occurred. It has been done, for example, in Oklahoma. And the discussion then evolved into, is this something that we can do on a nationwide basis and have a tele-town hall for Indian country? And his comment was, yes, we can do that. They indicated that they were looking forward to a very strong working relationship between NICOA and AARP. And part of that support is in terms of supporting the biannual conference, National Conference on Aging, that are held every 2 years, which is recently ended in Pechanga, that they're willing to continue to support that effort. And just as an aside, I think that our next conference is going to be in 2020. What is interesting about that date, that year, is that it's an election year. That we need to get someone to that conference who is going to be able to support the issues that we raise during that conference in their administration. And that is something that we as Indian people have an opportunity, especially as elderly people, to directly ask those people who are running for office at that time to be responsive to us, to make promises to us that they need to keep and that we can hold their feet to the fire. So the 2020 conference is going to be exceptionally important in Indian country. I know that in recent years, in recent months, I have seen some of the budgets that are coming out, and it has had a devastating effect in Indian country. And you should be aware of that, because it will affect you and it will affect the tribe where you work. So for me, in terms of where we go with AARP, they have indicated that some of the amendments that we are going to be pushing for. For example, under Title 7B, which is the caregivers program, B is the one specifically for Indian tribes. That has never been funded. And AARP has gone on record yesterday. They indicated that they will support our recommendations. And so we have already a national organization who is aware of our concerns, who are willing to put their $2.5 billion membership money on the line to assist us in that effort.
That's great.
Thank you, Larry. Sorry, we just had an interruption. Edwin's secretary brought us a piece of candy. It's Christmas Day here. Any questions queued up yet?
No, unfortunately, no questions came in on the phone. If you are joining us late, please press star 1 if you have a question. Thank you.
Tomorrow, everyone, Larry and I will be meeting with Sandy Markwood at N4A. And as you know, N4A has been a very big supporter of Title III or VI programs. Sandy's an important player out here. We are meeting with disabilities, our disabilities commissioner here at ACL, to advocate for some research in Indian country around persons with disabilities. We don't know where they are. We don't know what types of disabilities. We don't know if it was disabilities people were born with, if it was disabilities from diabetes, disabilities from car crashes, other types of intellectual disabilities, physical disabilities. We don't know the ages of people. There's not been a lot done around disabilities in Indian country. And I think a good share of the reason is because we tend to take care of folks at home, and we go to Indian Health Service and see what our clinic can do to help our people with disabilities. But otherwise, they're pretty much in our homes. So this is going to be really exciting if we can get some funds released here and have our friends at UND help us with some research to find our people with disabilities and to start channeling some funds in.
So please, if you have thoughts about that or information, send that forward to Larry and I. And then I also wanted Larry to tell you about a project that we contracted with Larry Curley before he was NICOA director to do a project with Meals on Wheels. And Larry, tell us what you're doing there. He's working with our intern Demetrius on this project.
Well, the project that Cynthia is referring to is a national contract with the Meals on Wheels of America program, and they are wanting to get information and data on Meals on Wheels programs in Indian Country. So Demetrius has been fantastic here. I don't know why he's an intern. He should be a staff person that does that kind of stuff.
Hopefully he will be.
But he has helped me in gathering data from the library here at the ACL Administration on Aging. And it's amazing what kind of information that is available here. But anyway, that information is going to be the basis for what they call a literature review. And that literature review means reading all of those studies that have been done and then pulling out from those studies those things that are relevant to the study. What we want to find out is what is happening out in Indian Country as it relates to nutrition. How are the programs running out there? Are there best practice programs, evidence-based programs? What is the effect of nutrition on the older population? But as Demetrius and I were saying this morning, we're thinking, well, when older people, by the time they get to be older people, something must have happened in their younger years. And so we're starting to look at younger populations, childhood levels of diseases that affect their teeth and so forth, dental health. And so we're starting at that level and putting all of this stuff together, and we'll be putting this information together. Out of that will come the synthesis of that into an issue paper, and that the issue paper will say these are the problems, these are the issues. And to address these issues, what we are going to do is going to develop a curriculum. A curriculum that would teach cooks, program directors, what nutritious food is, nutritious meals, and so forth, to the different populations, for example, the diabetic population or the people that have heart disease and so forth, to be able to tailor meals more effectively at the tribal level, and to put this curriculum together so that we can train our cooks out there on how to do that. Once that's done, what we're looking at is taking that curriculum and doing a needs assessment in North Dakota, the tribes among up there, and seeing how this fits with Indian Country. And once that works, we will take that instrument and spread it out to Indian Country tribal colleges around the country, see if they would be interested in implementing a course, the courses that are in that curriculum. So we're hopeful that this is something that will assist in improving our nutrition programs, the Meals on Wheels programs out there. Again, this is something that I really would appreciate your help to let us know if you're aware of any other studies that have been done out there. And maybe sometimes at your tribal level you've done a study that says this is what we wanted to look at. But we would appreciate your help and your assistance in identifying these as well. So that's what the project is doing, and that's what it's hoping to accomplish. We're hoping that by the end of August, sometime in August, to have finished this entire process, and that the project will be completed. So that's the information on that project.
Thanks. That's very exciting. And some of you have talked to me about cooks training and being able to certify your cooks. So we do listen to you, and that's this opportunity we're working on. Any questions queued in yet?
I'm taking that to be a no. If there's no other question.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Chelsea, your line is open.
Oh.
Oh, great. Hi, Cynthia and Larry. This is Kelsey Donlin with ASTO. I'm looking forward to meeting tomorrow, and I'm honored to be on the call today. I was wondering, Larry, if you could speak to some of the resources and tools that might be available for Native elders that are living in urban cities that maybe don't have access to the same resources.
And I think that in that regard, we're looking – I guess one of the concerns I also have is that back in the old days when we first originally wrote the Title VI program, the legislation that I wrote had urban Indians in there. But at that time, there were some concerns about including urban Indians.
They were renegades.
Yeah. And, but since that time as well, you're also aware of the fact that Indian Health Service at one time was just tribal organizations, tribes only. But now they've gone to urban settings. And so that precedent has been set. And from my perspective, I think these are things in terms of resources, information. This is what the Administration for Community Living, Administration on Aging, people like Cynthia, is to provide that kind of resource and that kind of information to y'all.
And Kelsey, in response, we do not have much information on our urban relatives at all. And one of the accomplishments that we have made in this past year has been to facilitate a contract between AARP and our National Resource Center on American Indian Aging that's located at the University of North Dakota. University of North Dakota has done 21 years of data collection on tribal elders, Title VI elders, and that's been through a three-year cycle, so we're starting on our seventh year. But we have no data on urban elders because, as Larry just said, Title VI is funded only for reservation elders. So this money from AARP is going to allow us to take that same survey and apply it to urban elders, and we're targeting the 41 urban areas that have Indian Health Service funded clinics or hospitals. But we will do the same degree of assessment on these urban elders and hopefully then come up, or not hopefully, we will come up with data and information about who they are, what their needs are, what their demographics are, and that's going to take us in a whole nother direction again. And Kelsey, while you're on, none of us had ever heard of your organization. And Title VI, this is some of the work we do out here in seeking out all these other partners to help us. Kelsey, do you want to tell us briefly who you are and where you come from, what you're doing?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Kelsey Donlin, and I'm an analyst on our health improvement team at ASTO. And ASTO stands for the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. So we represent, and our goal is to support and equip health officials from the states, territories, and District of Columbia. We also have some strategic priorities that guide our work, one of which is to strengthen our networks to support health officials to improve health conditions within their jurisdictions. And part of that for my team is looking at strategic and important connections between states and tribal leaders, especially for Indians who live in urban cities and the like. So we are sort of new to this space and really honored to be in partnership and to continue these conversations about how we can support and create visibility, as Larry mentioned earlier, around Native elder issues.
Very cool. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Yes. Our next question comes from Lorraine. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning. This is Lorraine Abcity with the Intertribal Council of Arizona. I actually have two questions, but before I do it, congratulations, Mr. Curley, on your director position with NICOA. Can you hear me clearly? I'm so sorry. I'm on the road, so I might be breaking out. Hopefully not.
Don't, Rick, we can hear you.
Oh, perfect. My first question is for Cynthia. You mentioned that four-year plan that you're working on for the organization and possibly for Title VI. I'm just wondering when that four-year plan will be completed and how it will be delivered for us to see it and maybe view it and possibly use that information to add to our Title VI applications in addition to our needs assessment.
Thank you, Lorraine. I don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
You just said a four-year plan.
I think that was it. That was, I was talking to Larry Curley to see what his four-year plan was.
Okay.
Oh, our four-year plan. I'm sorry. I was half joking. Our four-year plan is because in about 4 years, both Larry Curley and I hope to retire. So we've got miles and miles and miles to walk and miles of doors to knock on, and we got a lot of work to do for us old-timers.
I thought you were speaking in terms of something similar to our area plan. So I was like, oh, I've never heard of this four-year plan. Okay.
Oh, Lorraine, I could never sit down long enough to do that.
Okay, my other recommendation was the item regarding the technical assistance fees. I'm really excited to hear about that possibility through NICOA for the Title VI program managers. I would like to include that the technical assistance possibly cover the advocacy efforts as well as the professional development pieces and also the data collection pieces.
Absolutely perfect. And, Lorraine, when we were talking about that, as you know, I often do, I had your image in my head because of the way you monitor your programs, so I wanted to have you help us develop that. Hello,
yeah,
are you still there?
I'm still here. I didn't cut away. We're definitely in, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Any
that
other
was our
questions?
Last question.
None others?
No.
All right, I'm going to let everybody go because I need to go get a Diet Pepsi. No, thank you for calling in, and please remember to get a hold of us. We're just so excited about the work we get to do, me and this old-timer beside me. So get excited with us and send us what we need to best represent you. Take care, Title VI. Enjoy your Christmas holidays. Have wonderful parties and send us pictures.
And keep out of the snow.
And now you can tell them goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
This concludes your conference call, and you may disconnect. Once again, your conference call has ended, and you may disconnect. Thank you for joining.